Thank you, Mr. Chavarria. Good morning, brethren, here in Modesto, around the world, wherever you may be. I want to thank you very much for your cards and prayers and everything. I'm feeling a lot better. It is nothing fun reacting to a powerful antibiotic. If I'd have known it was that powerful, I'd have told them, forget it. Anyway, I'm about 25 pounds lighter, which is always good. So from that standpoint, we've had three types of major disasters identified by the federal government. One is the attack on the East Coast, and we had that already with 911. Gulf Coast hurricanes of major proportion. We've had that, two of them, within a couple of weeks. And West Coast earthquakes of a major type. Congress, 1997, appropriated $500,000 for FEMA to prepare a disaster plan for evacuating New Orleans during a massive hurricane. This was 1997. However, they diverted the money, mainly through FEMA, to, instead of studying and doing a disaster plan, to looking at the Causeway Bridge that spans the city's Lake Pontchartrain, officials said. This is another example of government's failure to prepare for a massive but foreseeable catastrophe. And the purpose here, they knew that to evacuate or prepare for the large number of poor people, many of them minorities, who had no access to transportation and remained behind. So this $500,000 was allocated. Frustrated, 2 years later, nothing happened. Congress strengthened its directive. This time it ordered an evacuation plan for a Category 3 or greater storm or levee break, flood, or other natural disaster for New Orleans area. And unfortunately, that money went to this causeway. Director James Lee Witt of FEMA believes the agency did what it needed when it gave the money to the state. And they could never find out where the money went. We have several problems here. Number one is follow-up. Why didn't it get used? Who was responsible? I know in business you have somebody pulls this. They're out on the street looking for work the next day. You find out who allowed this. And state emergency and transportation officials said they did not recall it. This is amazing, just amazing. Oprah went to the Super Bowl in New Orleans with her cameraman. They advised her not to go in there. She went in anyway. She was mad with what she saw. In addition, there were 200 buses sitting idle. There were mobile homes, hundreds of them that sat idle. Trucks with ice were sent to other cities than where they were needed. The reason I get upset is because about 15 years ago, when I worked for the Federal Reserve Bank, I was the audit contingent to the disaster planning function. And at that time, and in those days, we started out with a function for the data center. In case something happened to the data center, and in this case, the Federal Reserve was responsible for billions of dollars a day going through the electronics funds transfer system, in addition to their other critical systems. And so they developed this project. We went back to Virginia. The Federal Reserve has a computer in a bunker back there, and it's used for the 12 districts testing to get backed up. Now, the ultimate scenario, interestingly, for years has been a plane crashing into the data center and wiping out people, computers, backup, everything. And of course, this actually happened in 911. So that is the ultimate scenario that we were trying to test for, so that another facility could take your tapes and run them with their people and get you back up. In fact, we've had some small and mid-sized companies go under because they couldn't recover from a data center tragedy. let's look at where we're supposed to build our house, if we can back up to the disaster in New Orleans and why it happened. Let's take a look at Matthew 7, because God tells us where to build our house. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, there was a gentleman that built a steel house in New Orleans, and it was on the news, and it showed there were a couple of posts left. The rest of it had blown away. Does that mean you build at the base of an earthen dam below sea level? God tells us what to do. Moreover, he says in verse 26, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So these are very simple instructions if we look to them. We never should have had a New Orleans, especially under the circumstances. What about disaster preparedness for yourselves, brethren? And I'm referring to a couple weeks ago, Mr. Halstead mentioned about making sure you know where your gas and water lines are so you can shut them off in case of an earthquake. You need to know, you know, not only need the crescent wrench, but you need to know where to go to turn it off. Here's some items that's recommended to keep on hand in case of a disaster. And where we're very earthquake prone in this area, it's possible something could happen, even unknown fault lines. 5 days of food and water per person. 1 gallon per person per day of water. Now it's true you may have a hot water heater, but if that somehow ruptures, you're going to lose all that water. And you also need some type of bleach or iodine tablets or some way to purify the water in case it's been sitting a while and it's contaminated. Recommended you also have your cold remedies and aspirin and whatever medicines you need. So you got those on hand. A flashlight and a radio that use batteries because the electricity might not be working. Cell phones will probably not work because the towers will be down. And that's what happened in New Orleans. You should have an emergency plan. Where are we going to go? A list of phone numbers of friends, relatives, and medical personnel in case the phones are working. An extra pair of eyeglasses. I remember losing a lens out of my glass and I was off on a trip, and what a nuisance that was because I didn't have my old backup pair. Garbage bags, in case you need them. A can opener to open your food. Not an electric one. Wine is good to drink and for a disinfect. 3 to 5 days worth of diapers. And a backpack with shoes, jacket, blanket, and some snacks in case you have to leave right away. You have this ready to take with you. Now God's going to protect our home while we're going to the feast. Mr. Billingsley's already referred to that. So we know it's scriptural. But have you planned your trip? You should have a checklist of some sort. You should call a couple weeks beforehand to your motel and make sure they have your reservation. It's very awkward to get to the hotel and find out through a clerical error you don't have a place. You should also have some reserves in case of emergency. A first aid kit in your car, and it could be a simple one. A spare tire. Some people drive around on four tires and they don't have a spare. So invariably they're going to have a flat and they're not going to be able to do anything. Even the donut. The donut at least will get you to the gas station. What about your house? You should leave a key with a neighbor or relative in case of emergency. You should stop the paper in the mail. Don't give a return date. You don't want them to know how long you're going to be gone. And you don't want papers piling up in your driveway. It's a sure sign that you're not there. Timers for lights. What about pets? You can't leave a dog chained up in the backyard with a big bowl of food. That's not a good idea. You need to have the pets to a kennel or some house sitter or somebody that can look in on them on a regular basis. Now we're going to Tucson. That's a different climate, is it not? It's desert, it's dry. Sometimes there's, when the wind blows, because of all the different types of plants that people have brought there, you can get sick. And I remember one year in the past, almost everybody got sick because of this stuff blowing around. So my recommendation is to take a can of spray disinfect and go into your room and spray the vents and spray the air conditioner. And you also might want to spray the countertops and the toilet bowl just in case, because you don't know who's been in there, how well they cleaned it. Then you go out of there, turn it on, and go out of there for a couple hours and let it disinfect the room. And then when you come back, as long as you don't open your windows, you've got a pretty secure place in case there's stuff blowing around on the outside. You don't want to let it into the room, because my system reacts almost violently to climate change. It's happened for many years. So I have to be really careful. You know, I remember living in Michigan and going to Tucson for the feast, and midway through the feast, I was sicker than a dog. So I've learned over the years how to try and deal with this. Okay, let's look at one more scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verse 24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Be able to sleep well, brethren, is a gift. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. He's going to be there for us, brethren. Hopefully you will plan your home for disaster and plan for a wonderful feast. And my wife and I look forward to meeting all of you in Tucson.
Okay, brethren, please take your hymnals and turn to page number 84 and stand, please. Then we'll do, the name of this one is, Oh That Man Would Praise Her God. Please be seated. And now it's time for the announcements. And the announcements will be given this morning by our pastor, Mr. Don Dellingsley.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be back with you once again, and trust all of you have had a good week. whoever, wherever you are. We know there are other people who live in some of the areas that are connected with us. I suppose had some fallout from what did take place. And it's interesting to see that, and when you think about the way that Rita turned out, you know, that we had as many as five churches in the city of Houston, and all of them were big churches. Now, how many of them have remained, I don't know, but I think that there are some that are yet there, as well as in some of the other places, and I'm quite sure that they were praying probably more sincerely than they prayed in a long, long time, asking God for His mercy and His love for them. And for that reason, I believe that God reduced it to the point one that it finally came to. It's an act of mercy on His part, but it's an interesting thing to think of at the same time. As listening in briefly to the news this morning, there's a real danger in this, because when you think of all the people who fled from Houston, crowding the freeways and all of that, and the many, many hours, what, 13 hours and longer, maybe to travel 13 miles or whatever it was. Now, when one comes again, will they do the same thing? That's, as it was stated this morning, is a real danger with both Galveston and Houston. And because they realized that some of them turned around anyway and went back and said, forget it, when they realized they were stuck in traffic, they couldn't go anywhere. And so with those cities being virtually made desolate because of the fact that they all remembered what happened with Katrina and New Orleans, they figured that this was going to wipe them out too, but it didn't work that way. And really, again, I think it's because of so many people of God who really cried out to God most fervently in asking God to, for His protection, safekeeping over their lives, over their homes. And I'm confident God answered for that reason. But again, there's a great danger, not only for the public, but how about the people who are in the church who have not really made any changes or yet asleep and whatever. Well, what will be their attitude when something comes again? Will it come to be a ho-hum? It's like the old proverbial story, Wolf, Wolf, you know. So anyway, it's just something we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, these things are continuing to take place. Did you know there's an earthquake in Oakland this morning? 3.2. A warning. These things continue as warnings, just like the hurricanes when they come in. Normally, they got several days in advance notice as to prepare for it. So there are the warnings. So anyway, we're very thankful to God that He did spare those people and their lives, and He showed an act of mercy toward all the other people as well. So we're very thankful for that. Coming into the announcements as such, I would like for all of you to clear the room shortly after services. They are going to remove the chairs, and as soon as they get them all out, then I do want to do a video recording of the opening night service for Australia, for Kenya, and South Africa. So anyway, you can visit out in the hallways or wherever while I am doing this. So I would appreciate your cooperation with that, and perhaps some of you men would like to help Jerry Fields and all to clear the room. Why I want you to clear the room, you will have already sat through the services, and I will probably be giving somewhat the same message with some alterations and all for the opening night in Tucson. Tucson is a very beautiful place. As Mr. Armstrong said, it's a very desirable place to live for the people, you know, who do not have those kind of problems. And I know Betsy Henson, hello Betsy, I know you're listening in, now lives in Tucson. Yes, she made a move to Tucson, sold her property in Idaho. She likes Tucson that well. She found a little house just her size, and she paid cash for it from the sale of her own property. So anyway, she's very happy, happily settled, and in fact, She made the offer to the woman, and she was moved in, I think, within less than a week. Didn't have to go all through the red tape, the bureaucracy and all that to get into there. So So anyway, she's very happy. So she'll be a reception committee for us, as well as anybody else. So anyway, that's very good. Prayer request. We have a prayer request from Gary Leibold and his family in regard to a family they know real well in Montana, Jim and Rita Knott, K-N-O-T-T, longtime members of God's church, request our prayers for their family and friends. They are in another corporate church, but they are, nevertheless, they are people who are requested our prayers, and I trust that they are truly God's people as well. Anyway, their son, Paul, age 18, was killed in a freak accident this last Wednesday, attending a university, or what it was, within a 2 or 3 blocks of the home. He had a moped, as I understand it, and he was coming home, and a big truck passed by and put him right in under the wheels. Just sucked him right in under. So it's sad, but those things happen. I remember years ago, I had a reading about on Highway 99, you remember these little bitty cars, like, how many of you remember the baby Austin? Okay, some of you, you're telling how old you are. But anyway, real small cars, and it was a real small car traveling down 99, I believe it was, and a big truck pulled by, passed him and sucked it right in under. The truck driver saw what was happening, and so he didn't put on his brakes. He just let it gradually come to a halt, and so they came out of it all right. But in the case of this boy, he lost his life. It's very sad, especially a young fellow in his prime of his youth to have lost his life. I've officiated at funerals. I've been all the way from babies all the way up of others of young people as well as older people through the years. And it's always sad, especially for the very, very young people like that. It's very sad indeed. I know one family that we had to work quite a little bit with. Their only son was in Ambassador College in Big Sandy, Texas, and he was riding a scooter or something with someone. He was going past the airport. You know, we remember our airport there and the barricades that would come down. Well, anyway, it was down, and he was looking back laughing, didn't see it. And it killed him instantly. And it was very, very extremely hard. And we had another family in Montana Ambassador College students went over the lake and went swimming, and he drowned. It was on the Sabbath. So these things do happen. And I hope that all of you young people do not feel like, you know, that you've got a monopoly on life and nothing's ever going to happen to you. You always need God's protection. And I hope that you will pray for that. And you should do it. We're not just rely completely on your parents, but pray yourselves and ask God to watch over you, to protect and keep you, as well as keep Dad and Mom and everybody. That's something we should all do. Rose Ramos is on oxygen, gasping for breath. She needs all of our prayers for relief in her breathing, comfort. She is in critical care. I talked to Amos just a couple of four days ago. And he knows that she isn't going to make it. You know, she's up, and they've already prepared him for it. He's prepared for it. Her intestines, for the most part, have just kind of closed up. And he said she's on morphine or whatever. She doesn't really know what's going on. It wouldn't do any good if I did visit her, because she wouldn't know me. So anyway, please pray for Amos. And, of course, ask God for his mercy and love for Rose. I got a call from my sister this morning, told me her twin sister, my sister as well, as her husband died last night. So, anyway, these things continue on. So it looks like I'm going to have a pretty full week this next week. There will be choir practice after services in the choir practice area. Where will that be, John? Is that in another room? Or just on the other side? Okay. Please bring your music. All persons interested in singing the Feast of Tabernacles Choir should contact John or Donna Bavietz for music. please call 800, a free call, 400-1525. That's 1-800, free call now, 400, that is 400-1525 for further information. Feast of Tabernacle stickers for our cars will be in the typist room, R.C. Mike Paloma. And for those of you who do not have those in the outlying areas, they will be mailed to you. I think Mike Paloma, you're already involved in doing that, are you not, Mike?
Yes.
Okay. Mike is already taking care of that. Even if you're flying on a plane, perhaps you'll be renting a car or whatever else. If nothing else, you'd just like to have it to keep as a memory of the feast that you attended in Tucson. Anyway, those will be available to you. There is going to be a building fund established. We officially have established this as of today to purchase a property in Kenya. Anyone who wishes to contribute to the fund, send your check designated to the Church of God, but put in the ledger part to the Kenya Building Fund. Kenya Building Fund. The church is going to pay half of the cost. It's going to run somewhere about a little over $5,000 to buy the whole thing, a building with 2 acres of property, and that's fenced in too, isn't it, Joe? I forgot. Yes, it's fenced in. It will be deeded in the name of the church, and the building can be added to. In fact, just this week, there were 7 more people made the decision from one of the other corporate churches to be with us. So now the attendance is running about 70 in Kenya. So anyway, for all of those of you who would like to contribute to that a little bit, whether it's a little bit or a little bit more than a little bit, well then certainly that would be welcome. And it's for our brothers and our sisters in Kenya. Okay, that pretty much takes care of all of it. And special music today, though. Sacred Duet by Albert Malott, a soloist, Jerry Barrett, I guess it is, and Roger Bryant. I can at least pronounce his name. So anyway, we'll have a special music first, and then we will then have the sermon today brought to us on tape by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. It's 1 hour and 14 minutes long, 1 hour and 14 minutes long. The title of it is Why the Church? Why the Church? It was given February the 13th, 1982. First, the special music.
Yes,